This morning I will be preaching on the peace of God. Once again, I will not hit every area on this, but want to give a good general overview given what we've been talking about. Colossians 3, 12 down through 15. And I know I read this passage last week in our message as well, but I'm looking at a different emphasis this week. And God's word here reads, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Let's pray. Father God, as we look at this passage and another one in Philippians, we pray, Lord, as we consider this peace that you give to your people, Lord, we would be asking ourselves if we have that peace. If this is something that is noticed in our life and seen in our life as well by others. So we pray, Lord, again, that you would help me to speak well today and help those who are listening to listen well. Give all ears to hear. And we pray this again in Christ's name. Amen. I want to remind you, as we spoke last week, that thankfulness is one of these key factors in our life. In being able to have that wonderful peace, and I say that so because I've known that peace, that wonderful peace of Christ. But also, we want to remember that another important ingredient in this is love. He makes it very clear, and above all these things that came before, put on love. Now, I could have preached a message on love this week, and I may do that another time, but I wanted to touch on this area. One commentator, and I'm sorry I didn't write down which commentator it was, said this: "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. It is of his workings in all who are his. Thanksgiving to God helps to make us agreeable to all men. The gospel is the word of Christ. Many have the word, but it dwells in them poorly. It has no power over them. The soul prospers when we are full of scriptures and of the grace of Christ. But when we sing psalms, we must be affected with what we sing. Whatever we are employed about, let us do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in believing dependence upon him. Those who do all in Christ's name will never, in matters of thanksgiving to God, never be lacking in those areas." In the last couple of weeks, we looked at two areas. Now, I know there's a lot of visitors today, and I'm not going to recap this really. We looked at two areas in our life that need dealing with on a regular basis. The first of those was envy or jealousy. And last week, we looked at forgiveness and the life of the believer. And again, how these things should be lived out. In this first passage that we've just read, we have looked at how we should be getting better control over those two areas of our life that are in constant need of repair. But we also find these other encouragements for the men and women of God. Let me read these again. We are to be people that have compassionate hearts. We are to show in our lives kindness. Not only to people that are kind to us, but people that are even sometimes wicked to us. We must have humility. Humility is hard to come by at any time in life. Meekness, and, well, we discussed patience a little bit last week, and I think a little bit the week before. I think I talk about patience a lot. Bearing with one another. Are we good at bearing with one another? Again, I'm not going to preach on all of these today. But these are all tied in. It's like a soup. You don't just put in water. You don't just throw in some carrots. You throw in a whole bunch of different things. And that comes out to be soup. And I look at that in the area of peace in our life. It's not one thing that we do or how we do this one thing or these couple of things, but there's a number of things. And God has given us the instruction. He has been gracious to us and not saying, well, you got to figure out what they are. He's given them to us in His goodness. And He's told us through the apostles and through Christ Himself and through the prophets in the Old Testament, the same things are given to us. The same quality of character in the life of the Christian is shown to us. Bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. If you have a complaint against another, are you able to forgive them? Well, let me rephrase that. Are you willing to forgive them? Because that's what God has called us to. And again, let me bring out again for the visitors today, not just forgiving them, but you must forgive them in the same way that the Lord God has forgiven you. So too, you must forgive. And above all these things, put on love. Do we put on that love of Christ? Again, Colossians is this beautiful picture of putting on the new man. And again, I like to say it in the sense of putting on a suit of armor. If we do these things as God has directed us, we know things will go well. Now, going well doesn't mean the way you would like it, but they will go well. Put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Sometimes we miss that word, perfect, into perfect harmony. And then he gives this command. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let that peace rule in your hearts. It's interesting. I was thinking about this week. When I was thinking, well, how does this apply to the congregation in other ways? It's interesting that we teach in the Reformed churches, we all teach our children the shorter catechism. And we especially teach them to memorize the first question of the shorter catechism. And they all know it almost by 2 or 3 years old. They've got that down. What is the chief end of man? The answer, you all know it, but I'll read it because I'm up here speaking. To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. But we so often forget that last part of the answer is to enjoy Him forever. We're all about glorifying God, and we should be. I mean, it's not like this or that. It's this and that. So we should be glorifying God in our lives, in our words, excuse me, in our actions. But we should be enjoying Him forever. It says in a larger catechism, by the way, it adds one more word. To fully enjoy Him forever. It's interesting that that's the only difference. I mean, a lot of the larger catechisms, a lot more words. They put one word in there. One very important word. To fully enjoy Him forever. I like to always bring up when I talk about forever in this context, that means now. You know, how often you hear believers say, oh, I can't wait till the Lord comes back. Or once in a while you hear somebody like me, who's getting older, up in age, saying, I can't wait till the Lord takes me home. Why? I mean, there's reasons. There's good reasons. I could preach a sermon on that. But part of it's because I want to enjoy God more. But God wants us to start fully enjoying Him forever now. He wants that to begin now. So how are we to do this? Again, we have the Holy Spirit here. He's working in us all the time. We have this wonderful Word of God. And let me ask this, and I'm going to ask for a show of hands. I never do this. How many of you, when you're reading the Word of God, most of the time do not feel at peace with God? Okay, don't show your hands. I don't think that many of us do. I know when I might be in complete turmoil in my life, but when I open the Word of God and I start reading, I don't mean just glancing through, but reading, there's that connection and there's that peace that I start to feel in my own heart. And this is what we want to do. Having this peace of God in our heart can help us do the other things that have been mentioned, but also doing the other things that have been mentioned can help us on that road to being at peace. And we want to have, or I would want to say, I would want to have the peace of God working in my life, not occasionally, but always. I want to be able to enjoy God now, not just always waiting for something more. God has given us a unique and wonderful life that we can live in service to Him. And I probably haven't reminded you recently, you only get to live this life of service in this way right now, this one time. We'll continue to serve God and glorify God forever and ever, but differently than we do now. So make the best of the gift that Christ has given us in Christ Jesus, in the work that He has done. Also, we need to look at consideration to why our lives aren't at peace. Why we don't have that peace. And I'm not talking just the peace of being at peace with one another. But this peace of God in our hearts, that peace that surpasses all understanding. Let the peace of Christ rule. Let it have that place of eminence up there. This is the most important thing, that we should have this. And it is true, again, these other factors that we looked at, and having put on love. Put on, and that's a word, that's an action, something you do. It's not something that happens to you. It's something you do. It's something you determine to do, that you're called to do. But sometimes we decide, I want to rebel. I want to do my thing. Well, even when we know what God has called us to. We have the examples given to us of this peace through the life of Christ. Through the life of many of the Old Testament prophets. Didn't mean that they didn't have troubles and hard times. Didn't mean that they all didn't face horrible deaths. But they had that peace of God ruling in their hearts. Again, we spoke of forgiveness and envy, like I say, in the last couple of weeks. And those are two areas of our life that we always need to get control of. But as well are other areas that we have to deal with. And we have not only Jesus and the apostles and the prophets of the Old Testament. We have the early church and countless others throughout the past 2,000 years of the life of the church who have lived this out as examples for us. We say this again and again. Christ came to die on the cross. This was the major work of the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for the sins of those that the Father has given him, and that he might be resurrected so that we might live again. But he is also our teacher. And he didn't teach just by words. He taught by example. When he was attacked, he didn't attack back. When he was attacked with words by the Pharisees and the other, quote, wise men of the day, he never really attacked them back. He would just wisely speak back to them the truth. And sometimes the things that they were actually doing. I was thinking about this peace. Let this peace rule in our hearts. Thinking, yeah, that's nice. And I'll say this. It's easy to feel this peace when all is going well in our lives. And we have those periods. And they're wonderful. We used to call them mountaintop experiences in the charismatic church. You go up the mountain, but people thought they could live there. You don't. You have to go back into the valley, because it's in the valley that God works in our lives. It's on the mountain time where we get a little mountaintop, where we get a little refreshment, a little time to catch our breath, and then it's back to work. And we need to remember that part of our work in this life is living out these very things that have been given to us through Christ and through the apostles, through his word. You know, Paul says these same things or types of things again and again and again and again. And, you know, you read it and you say, I wonder why he said it so many times. We're not stupid. Well, we're not stupid, but we are often stubborn. And if you notice, when people outside of the Word of God, outside of Christ, when they read the Word of God, these things, you would think that anybody would grasp these. I mean, this is a simple statement. And yet people read it and they go, I don't get this. I don't understand this. How does this work? As if it were something. And so we see that in things of spiritual matters, there are such things as stupid people. They don't get it. They can't get it, but we can, and we should, but we don't always. Again, we come to worship God. We come to worship him so that we can worship him. But sometimes, too many times, we come also for, well, the blessings that I might get, and you should, and you will get blessed, even in just the singing of the Word of God to God, in the reading of the Word of God that he has given to us. But that should never be our main reason to come to get blessed, but to come to bless God. And even when we come for the Lord's Supper, as we do once a month, as we are able, we come because we want that means of grace. We want that that little bit, because our lives are not nearly as content as they usually should be. Again, it's easy to feel this peace of God or something in our hearts where we're not troubled. But what about when everything falls apart? Other aspects of our life outside of the church affect us dramatically. They have great tragedy with them sometimes, and they can be a real drain on us. And sometimes we often begin to lose that peace. So we need to be reminded. And sometimes we lose it because we quit doing the very things, again, that God has called us to. We know that He has called us to perfection, but we can't live that way. We can't fulfill the law perfectly. And yet we can be compassionate-hearted people. How many of you can't show kindness? I didn't think I'd see any hands. Humility, that's a tough one. The minute you start feeling you're humble, pride crept in. But we should be working at it. All these things, again, you're cutting them up and you're throwing them in. And this should bring us to a place when we live this, we should feel that peace of God. Again, I've read those three times, so I'm not going to read them again. But these are areas in our life that Christians must have. And they must be working on them all the time. Even if you're the strongest Christian in your life, you don't know anybody who's stronger than, well, pride crept in again. But you understand what I'm saying. Even then, we must be working to become more and more and more Christ-like. We need to be training up. I see a lot of little children here today. I love to see little children. We must be training up these little children, not just in how they must deal with things in the world, but how they must deal with God. And how they must take God's word as they grow up and apply them to their own lives. I've always loved watching children learn how to tithe. And the joy they have in it. Now, again, usually they don't work hard for the money, but I've watched them, you know, pretty early on where they've actually done something. They've taken money out of their birthday money or a gift money that was given, and they want to give. They want to give it to God. This is the kind of hearts we should have all the time. The other passage that I wanted to look at today was Philippians. And I'm not going to spend a whole ton of time there. Just wanted to get into it just the tiniest bit. Philippians 4. Now I'm going to look at verses 4 through 7. Again, one of my favorite passages right here because of the first few words. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. What beautiful words they are. Dr. Beeke, in one of his commentary, he wrote about this. He said, God gives peace to those who bring their cares to Him. Given certain circumstances in life, as we read, anxiety makes sense. However, God is able to grant peace in the presence of suffering that transcends human understanding. This is what God can do. Again, that's why I brought this verse in. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. This is how great this peace of God is. Now, we could probably say the same thing in different respects to the love of God, as God is love. But it states it so clearly here that we have this peace that is supposed to be ruling in our hearts. And God says, and you can't even understand it. I have a little more I want to read on this. Matthew Henry writes this also. And this is a little more lengthy, and I'm not going to read it verbatim, but I'm going to kind of skip around a little bit. It says, the peace of God, the comfortable sense of being reconciled to God and having a part in His favor and the hope of the heavenly blessedness, are the greater good than can be fully expressed. This peace will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It will keep us from sinning under troubles and from sinking under them. It will keep us calm and with inward satisfaction. He said, let us seek to give assurance that our names are written in the book of life. Joy in God is of great consequence in the Christian life. And we should have that joy of God. And that joy of God, again, just let me remind you, comes with peace. There is a care and diligence which is our duty, and agrees with a wise forecast and due concern. But there is a care of fear and distrust, which is sin and folly, and only perplexes and distracts the mind. As a remedy against perplexing care, constant prayer is recommended. Not only stated times of prayer, but in everything, give prayer. This is one of the reasons we go in and out of the joy of the Lord residing in our heart and the cares of the world taking over. The peace of Christ ruling in our hearts. And again, things getting in the way where we don't feel at peace at all. Matthew Henry says, as many commentators do, prayer, prayer, prayer. Now, it almost sounds like law, 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 but it's not. It's talking to your Heavenly Father. It's communicating. It's asking. It's pleading at times with Him. Intervene. Work these things out. You pray for your children. You pray for your grandchildren. You pray for your husbands and your wives. Why? Because you love them. We are people who need to join together. And that's why we pray a lot in church. We pray because we need to pray. We don't pray enough. It's called a house of prayer, actually. We must join our thanksgivings with prayers and supplication, not only seeking those things that God can give us, but own the mercies that we have already received. Again, that great mercy in Christ Jesus. He knows better than we do. And He will show us when we ask Him, when we come to Him, when we plead with Him. We don't always hear that voice we like to hear that kind of brings back the words of God directly, but we know that feeling where He brings peace. That peace of God, the comfortable sense of being reconciled to God, and having a part in His favor. Sometimes when we're living our lives more our way than His way, we don't feel that quite sense of favor as much. But when we do commit ourselves to living as He has called us to, as Christ has set us the perfect example where He said, I didn't come to do my will or to say my things, but to do the will of the Father and to say the words that He has given me. This is how we should be living our lives. Problem is We are sinners. Christ wasn't. So he was able to do that fully and wonderfully. But we are able to do it partially. And our sanctification should be showing greater effect in our life all the time. I'm speaking more to the older folks here and myself. We should be becoming more and more and more Christ-like. It should show in how we act toward others, how we speak of others, how we feel about situations in our lives when things don't go right. I love watching people, especially in people what I call younger than me in their 30s, and they are a lot younger than me. I love watching them when little things go crazy. And so many of them, it's not the Lord that they turn to quickly, but it's their wisdom. And how do we get out of this? How do we fix this? And I just sit there and I think, but if I tell them this, they won't like it. And they don't. And neither do we. When we're older and somebody younger comes up and says, hey, perhaps you should try this. And we look at them like, well, who are you to tell me that? Well, they are a son and daughter of the living God. And they are correcting you. And it's okay. Again, that peace of God, the comfortable sense of being reconciled to God and having a part in his favor and the hope of the heavenly blessedness are a greater good than can be expressed. This is the peace of God. That's what it looks like. This peace will keep our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. It will keep us, again, from sinning under troubles. The Apostle Paul, his life was a great example to us because his doctrine and his life agreed. What he taught others, he did. And even as he speaks of the many sufferings that he went through, he was speaking knowing that God was going to use this in the building up of his people. And he looked at it and said, whatever God wants, pretty much, I'm for it. I don't have to like it. And you don't have to like what God might bring into your life at times. In fact, I'm sure there will be times in your life, each one of you, young and old, who are Christians, that God will allow things to happen that are horrible. And yet, even in those times, God can give us that peace. Doesn't mean there won't be suffering. It doesn't mean there won't be great sadness. But we can still be at peace, even with all of that. All of our privileges and salvation arise in the free mercy of God. Yet the enjoyment of them all depends upon our sincere and holy conduct. So too, pertaining to the peace of God, when we are living our life in obedience to God as we are able, not in a way we're not able, but in the way we are, when we are living our lives to serve Christ, even as he lived his life to serve his Father and to serve his people. When we are doing those things, then we can be sure that this peace of God that surpasses all understanding can and will rule in your hearts. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that we know, and we know, not we guess or hope, we know that this peace that you speak of here, this peace that should be played out and lived out in our life throughout the days and weeks and years that you've given us, that it is obtainable. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us not to just seek after it, but to allow it indeed to rule in our hearts. When things are good and when things are bad, that we would be able to say, I don't know what's going on, but I do know that my God is in control. Oh, how those kinds of words perplex those who aren't believers, and so often strengthen those who are young in their walk, to realize that we do not have to be run by the affairs of the world, or necessarily even the conditions and situations of this life. But we can have a peace that other people can't even begin to imagine. Even we can't fully imagine it. But we know it when it's there. We know it and we feel it. And that joy it brings with it. Oh Lord, help us to know that more and more regularly in our lives. Help us to seek after that peace. Help us to live as you have called us to, as men and women who are seeking to glorify you in all the things that we do, and that are desiring to enjoy you through all of our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Again, amen.